Amen. I hope that was a wake-up call, church. I understand this woman has millions of viewers that tune in every single day and hang on every one of her words. And we're going to get into this. And her target audience is the young mothers of America. You think about that. We're going to go to Exodus chapter number 34. You're there probably. I will be in a second here. Let's notice verse 10, Exodus 34:10. And he said, "Behold, I make a covenant before all my people, and I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation, and all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivite, and the Jebusites. Take heed to yourself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, cut down their groves, for thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." Go to Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 8. Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 8. Let me just read a couple of verses that we'll pull out of the story of the temptation of Jesus Christ. Remember, Exodus said, "For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. "Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Now if you will go to Revelation chapter number 4. We're going to do a lot of our Bible reading up front here and then reference these verses as we go down through. Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 10. Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 10. We're looking at the word worship. Tonight we're going to preach on satanic worship. We're looking at the word worship. Exodus, God said, "Thou shalt worship no other god." In Matthew chapter 4, Satan desired to be worshipped. Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 10, "The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure are they and were created." Let's stay in Revelation. Look in chapter 9, please. Chapter 9. And if you will, please, let's select just one verse. Verse 20. Chapter 9, verse 20. The rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. By the way, this was after the plague of those hideous locusts, and it stung all men and killed some of them. And the ones that it did not kill, they still wouldn't repent. One of the things they didn't want to repent of was they did not want to stop worshiping devils. They would not repent of that. Chapter 13, please. Revelation chapter 13, verse number 1. Revelation 13, 1. "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him power in his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" If you will now, let's go over to chapter number 19 and verse number 10. This will give us a great reference point. Chapter 19, verse 10. We've been reading about some of the fallen angels, and of course Lucifer being one of them, desiring worship. Chapter 19, notice verse 10. It says, "And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Here's an angel that had not fallen, an angel that is still in God's control and serving the Lord. And when John got all wound up here and got excited and fell down before that angel, he said, "Don't you worship me." He got him up on his feet and told him, "You worship God. You worship God." Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. I pray, God, many things are done, but I pray, Lord, at the end of this, may we be more determined than ever to worship only one God. Because, Lord, you're the only one that deserves worship and praise and glory. And, God, you are a jealous God. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would not cast away that attribute. Lord, we ask, God, that you would help us to understand you and to honor what you've asked us to do in this matter of worship. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much, church. Listen carefully, closely. I'm going to give you a lot of information. I'm going to do it quickly. Please sit up straight and tall and on purpose listen to my introduction. In eternity past, when Satan existed as Lucifer, when he was still one of God's high archangels, he had beauty and power and position and a following. He was a musical being blessed with divine talent and a divine appointment where he might exercise that talent. He lived, think about this, in the presence of God. He wanted for nothing, existed in peace, was surrounded by perfection and piety. However, there was one thing he was not allowed. One thing God would not grant, God would not share. Lucifer had everything but one thing, and that one thing was worship. Satan wanted the worship of those around him. The desire to be worshiped drove him to rebellion, drove him to deception, and drove him right out of heaven. He lost everything in an attempt to gain just one thing, the worshipful adoration of God's created beings. Yes, Oprah, God is a jealous God. Sorry that doesn't feel right to you. God shares his worship with no part of his creation, not the visible and not the invisible. We can worship God the Father and we should. We can worship God the Son and we should. We can worship God the Spirit and we should. We can worship the triune God. However, the Bible commands us, warns us, that worship is reserved exclusively for Almighty God. Matthew chapter 4, we see where Satan is so hungry for worship, wants worship so much that he offered Christ the world and all it contains for just one moment of worship. In Revelation, we see that behind all of the battles, all of the spiritual battles, folks, we see when the Christians are lifted out and Satan all of a sudden has control, that his primary concern is to get men to worship him, worship for himself, worship for his satanic trinity, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that we're facing that are real life things in this culture. Say, Pastor Jerry, what is behind witchcraft? What's behind this new Wiccan religion that's sweeping the country and enticing our young people? What is the purpose of this New Age movement? What is behind the occult-friendly TV programming, the occult-based video games, the occult-laced cartoons, the occult-promoting best-selling books? What is Satan trying to accomplish? What's he after? I'll tell you what he's after. He wants to be worshipped. Satan desires to be worshipped. He craves it. He longs for it. He glories in it. He'll fight for it. He'll kill for it. Satan wants to be worshipped. Now, in pagan lands across this world, he's found worship through the ages. In pagan religions, and through pagan religions, he's enjoyed adoration. In pagan culture, Satan has received what he longed for. By the way, that's why he hates America. And that's why we've got to guard our Christian heritage here in America. America is well on its way to becoming a pagan country. If we become pagan, we're going to give Satan, begin to give Satan what he's longed for. And we already are, by the way. We're headed down that road. Satan wants one thing. He wants to be worshipped. He don't care what you call him. He's being called by different titles. He's been worshipped by different names. Beelzebub, the Pythians, Apollo, Belial, Asmodus, Parison, Abaddon, Diabolus, Mammon, Astema, Azazel, Samael. These are all different names in different cultures for Satan. And in all of these cultures, he's worshipped by these names. In the Bible, he's called Abaddon, the accuser, adversary, angel of the bottomless pit, angel of light, devil, dragon, enemy, evil spirit, father of lies, god of this world, the great dragon, Lucifer, man of sin, murderer, old serpent, power of darkness, prince of this world, prince of the air, prince of darkness, roaring lion, ruler of darkness, Satan, serpent, son of perdition, tempter, thief, wicked one. He don't care what you call him, just worship him. Just worship him. You see, it doesn't matter to him what you call him as long as you worship him instead of Jehovah God. I want to have you turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 18. We're getting into the message now. Deuteronomy chapter number 18. God has set some standards. He did so for the nation of Israel. He did so, by the way, folks, this is part of the moral law of God that was not done away at Calvary. Amen. These things God's still concerned about, he still cares about, he's still adamant about. Deuteronomy chapter 18, notice if you will, verse number 9. Deuteronomy 18 and verse number 9. See, Brother Jerry, how does Satan get folks to get to the point where they're willing to worship him? He does it through the means that are listed. And by the way, these idolatrous practices were forbidden by Almighty God in the Old Testament law. Verse 9. It says, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that use divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Now, did you notice that? He said, these are the list of abominations that caused me to send you in to destroy these nations. And folks, if we surrender and we begin to practice this in America, we begin to accept this in our culture, I promise you there's some other nation that'll come in and destroy this nation. Notice verse 13, thou, good night of all people, God's people, thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, for these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. Witchcraft, folks, and all of these other aspects of witchcraft are listed here and labeled as an abomination to God. Young people, please listen to me. This isn't a joke. This isn't harmless. This isn't meant for entertainment. This isn't something to wink at or to laugh at or to dabble with. Please, please don't dabble with this stuff. What does this list entail? Let me go down through this list and just give you definitions. We won't teach on this. Pass through the fire. That means that was a custom, a pagan custom of offering children either symbolically or sometimes literally to Satan or some other false god by throwing them to the fire or have them walk through the fire. Divination, the attempt to learn the future through occult objects. Divination means the use of cards, the use of different types of occult paraphernalia to try to determine the future, to see the future. Observer of times is the use of celestial bodies to try to predict the future. Don't you mess around with these zodiac things. So don't you mess around. What do they call the astrology? Astrology? Horoscope. That's what I'm looking for. Amen. I knew some of you that read it would know it. And You say, Brother Jerry, but it's just harmless stuff. It's just, no, it's not harmless. When you mess with this stuff, you're messing with the underworld. You're messing with black magic. You're messing with Satanism. An enchanter is listed next, and this is the practice of casting of spells. And by the way, 10 or 15, 20 years ago, this had been laughed at. Nobody in America would have taken it seriously. Now, I will show you that this is true. Now, if you stop the average kid in an elementary school right now and said, do you know a spell by heart or do you know an incantation by heart, he'd be able to rip one off. Because he's learned it in the movies. He's learned it by reading Harry Potter. He's learned it by watching some of the popular shows on today. I mean, they know them by heart. An enchanter, a witch, one who attempts to know and harness the powers of darkness. A charmer, one who tries to influence others through demonic means. A consulter of familiar spirits, an attempt to communicate with the dead. A wizard, one who practices black magic. Necromancer, one who worships and interacts with demons. These things are an abomination to God. They're an abomination. They're not meant to be cast as childhood entertainment. These things, how in the world did these things find their way into our popular culture? What have we done as Christians about it? Have we fallen asleep at the wheel? My goodness sakes, folks, listen to me. I want to familiarize you with some of these things, some of the catchphrases that Oprah was saying. If you understand and have studied this, you heard again and again and again. Listen, what she believes is a Wicca religion. That's what she believes. What she's going for is based in the occult. Even that whole thing at the very beginning where she was encouraging this man and talked about the positive response they got by just having a time of silence and emptying themselves. Listen, if you get quiet and you empty your mind and you empty your soul and you empty your spirit and you just listen to yourself breathe and you yield yourself to whatever powers or influences are around you, you're opening yourself up to spirits and to the channeling of a cult of demons and demonic presences. Listen, that's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing. My Bible doesn't say to clear my mind. My Bible says to meditate on the Word of God. Listen, you ought to be thinking on purpose. David said, vain thoughts do I hate. Listen, he said you ought to be thinking about something positive. That's what Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4. We need to actively concentrate on good things. And listen, nowhere in the Bible you see this idea of clearing your mind, quieting your spirit, of just listening and open yourself up to what might filtrate into your heart and mind from the spirit world around you. That's dangerous. That's dangerous, dangerous, dangerous. By the way, it's a part of all occult practices. And the first thing she wanted to do was to exercise that, have him teach people that are listening how to do that. You see, witchcraft is experiencing, folks, a resurgence in America. Now, let me give you some things, just some information. And I want you to be very, very careful. Parents, listen. Now, what I'm trying to do is to help you. I'm going to give you some ammunition. I'm going to give you some things. I'll be honest with you. I struggled this week as far as how much of this do I give? How much do I not give? What do I say? What do I don't say? But I don't want to in any way over-educate our young people in this area. I mostly want to just give you enough information that hopefully some red flags will pop up in your mind when you hear certain things and you see certain things and you realize that they're not harmless. Let's talk about witchcraft. Brother Jerry, how is it resurging in America? It's resurging, first of all, among the American children. Witchcraft in American children. I went and read several articles on this. Very interesting. You can research it. Let me tell you one of the primary ways that witchcraft is getting introduced to our young people is through cartoons. Cartoons. If you listen, you're just going to have to trust your preacher or you sit down and watch it with them. But I promise you, if you turn on the TV on a Saturday morning, you prop your kids in front of it, you let them watch 3 or 4 hours of cartoons, I promise you, they will have watched people cast spells. They will watch people call up powers of darkness. They'll watch witches and wizards being heroes. They will be trained in the occult through the cartoons. Through the cartoons. How's witchcraft and why has it made a resurgence amongst American children, folks, sorry, but I got to give you two words: Harry Potter. Harry Potter. Honestly, Harry Potter. It's a fascinating what's happening. It's amazing what's happening. Oh, Brother Jerry, I've read those books, or I've let my kids read those books, and it's harmless, and people want to compare it to The Wizard of Oz and these type of things. Listen to me. Let me read you a little something here, and I hope it'll wake you up a little bit. It says here, the top-selling Potter books, in spite of denials by its authors and other advocates, do inspire follow-up interest in sorcery and the occult among children. Please consider this passage, said to be written by a 13-year-old on a popular internet site called The Witch's Voice. He wrote this: you're 12 years old and have stumbled upon the book Teen Witch by Silver Ravenwolf at this very odd and interesting section of Borders Bookstore. They've got a whole section called Magical Studies. Next to Teen Witch is the book Wicca, A Guide for the Solitary Practitioner by Scott Cunningham. You've never heard this term before, Wicca, but naturally you're a huge fan of Charmed and Harry Potter, so you immediately open to the middle of this interesting book, Teen Witch. What's the first thing you see? Spells, tons of them. Oh, cool. Now I can be a real witch, you say, as you take this fascinating book to the checkout line. That's what's happening to our young people. You see, folks, you know what? The love of money is the root of all evil. And this woman has become a billionaire. Now, I didn't say a millionaire. I said a billionaire writing these books. And so everybody else that wants to make money in the writing world that doesn't have any conscience or any scruples is trying to write something that's a spinoff of Harry Potter or Harry Potter related or Harry Potter like. I got the list online of the Scholastic book list that's offered to our elementary kids. Pull it up. Oh, I counted them. Over one fourth of the books offered right now to the kids to order in a public school through Scholastic books have some connection to the occult. Now, what I'm saying is pay attention to what they're getting their hands on. Pay attention to what they're getting their hands on. We got a wake-up call here just a couple years ago at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I mean, just a couple years ago. Sunday afternoon, the phone rings. It's a concerned parent. I don't know if I can let my young person come on the bus anymore. So what, excuse me, ma'am, what's the problem? Is there something wrong, something I can help you with, something we can fix? I sent my little girl on the bus, and she sat beside another young lady on the bus, a young girl, and she had a backpack with her, and she had a whole folder in that backpack, along with her Bible, a whole folder filled with witches' spells, satanic spells, different spells. She was sitting on the bus reading them, casting spells on other kids on the bus. I said, now, why did Tabitha have this, and where did she get this at? And it must be her mother, amen? And I thought, surely they're kidding me. So we went to that home. We asked the mother. She acted like she was aghast at the idea that her daughter would have something like this. We mentioned a backpack. She brought it. She pulled out a folder that thick with nothing but spells. Witchcraft spells that she has copied off the internet, was actively using and chanting and supposedly casting on other young people. If you think that our young people in America are not being inducted into witchcraft, even as we sit here, even as we speak, you're kidding yourself. You're kidding yourself. Through cartoons, through Harry Potter, through the internet, through spinoff type material, internet websites, and you know, a little kid gets excited about something, and mommy and daddy want to buy him all the related things, and let him go on the websites. Next thing you know, they're letting him buy books. You know what? There's no wonder. You think about since the first Harry Potter book come out. So why do we have a bunch of teenagers now that are in Wicca? I thought it didn't influence anything. Why has Wicca gone from in 1990 reporting? On the national survey, when they took a religious survey, only 8,000 Americans claimed to be involved in Wicca in 1990. And yet in 2002, there's over 1 million Americans that claim as their religion Wicca. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. We've been setting them in front of the cartoons. We've been buying them Harry Potter and saying there's nothing wrong with it. We get them on the internet, let them go around looking for things, and we call it harmless. It's not harmless. Remember, folks, what's behind this? Satan desires to be worshipped. He wants these. He hates the fact that we've got a group of young men crammed in this front pew right here in church tonight. He hates that. He doesn't want them to be trained and taught to worship the true God. He wants to get into their minds. He wants to find ways to get into their homes and get them material and get them books and get things in their mind through the television set. He's going to do everything he can to try to get them to forsake God and worship Satan. Let me talk to you secondly about witchcraft and the American teenager. Witchcraft and American children. Satan's made an inroad there. Witchcraft and the American teenagers. Wicca. I've already mentioned to you Wicca. You say, Brother Jerry, what is Wicca? Well, I'm going to give you some information about it, okay? And parents, I want to be careful what I share and what I don't. There's some aspects of it, to be honest with you, are so wicked, so vile, so perverse, I can't even cover them from this pulpit. And I mean that's true. Here I'm getting old. I'm looking for my glasses, and they're on. Amen? And it's just good to know. I see that, you know. What did I do with them things, man? I think I remember, that's why I looked at my dad. I remember laughing at him a few years ago for doing that. So. Amen. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. What is Wicca? Pay attention here. What is Wicca? Wicca is a nature. And by the way, this is not from a right-wing or a left-wing website. This is from the Wikipedia. What is that? Free encyclopedia, okay? Some online encyclopedia. Wicca is a nature-based religion popularized in 1954 by Gerald Gardner, retired British civil servant. He said that the religion of which he was an initiant was a modern survival of an old witchcraft religion which had existed in secret for hundreds of years, originating in pre-Christian paganism of Europe. By the way, he's right about that. There's some that want to say that this is a new thing. It's not a new thing. It's the latest fabrication of something. There's no new thing under the sun. That's why I know it's not a new thing. It goes all the way back, folks. It says various, I don't agree with the fact that it's pre-Christian, because to be pre-Christian, you have to be pre-God, amen? Various Wiccan traditions have since evolved from this that established by Gardner. Now let me give you the core concept. Wicca is one variety. Now this is a fact. If anybody wants to tell you that Wicca is not witchcraft, they're lying to you. Wicca is one variety of pagan witchcraft with distinctive ritual forms, seasonal observances. Is something ringing a bell here? Okay, observer of times, and religious, magical, and ethical precepts. Other forms of witchcraft exist within many cultures with widely varying practices. Many Wiccans, though not all, call themselves pagans. They wear it as a badge of honor through the umbrella term of paganism, encompassing many faiths that have nothing to do with Wicca or witchcraft. Wicca has also been described as neo-pagan or mesopagan path. Because there's no centralized organization in Wicca, no single orthodoxy, the beliefs and practices of Wiccans can vary substantially, both among individuals and among traditions. Typically, the main religious principles, ethics, and ritual structures are shared, since they are key elements of traditional teachings and published works on the subject. As practiced by initiants in the lineage of Gerald Gardner, Wicca is a variety of witchcraft founded on religious and magical concepts. Folks, Wicca is witchcraft. Wicca involves everything. Listen to me. It involves every single thing that's on that list in Deuteronomy. Every single aspect of that is practiced in Wicca. Okay? And some pagan, immoral, wicked, perverted practices that I can't even talk about from this pulpit. Let me continue. Read you a little bit about their belief system. You need to understand this. For most Wiccans, Wicca is a duotheistic religion worshiping a god and a goddess who are seen as complementary polarities and embodiments of a life force manifest in nature. They are sometimes symbolized as the sun and moon. And from her lunar associations, the goddess become a triple goddess with the aspects of maiden, mother, and crone. Some Wiccans see the goddess as preeminent. Not some. Most Wiccans see the goddess as preeminent. since she contains and conceives all. The God is the spark of life and inspiration within her, simultaneously her lover and her child. This is reflected in the traditional structure of the Covan. In some traditions, noble feminist, Dianic Wicca, the goddess is seen as complete unto herself, and the god is not worshipped at all. Let me just say this. From what I've read, there is more of an emphasis placed on the worship. This is a worship of a female god. Now, she does have a partner, but the goddess is supreme. The goddess is supreme. Okay, Wicca is essentially a religion. For some Wiccans, this idea also involves... I'm not going to read some of this, okay? Excuse me, I'm going to jump through and pick a little bit here. According to Gardner, the gods of Wicca are ancient gods of the British Isles, a horned god and a great mother goddess. Gardner also states that being a higher, that a being higher than any of these tribal gods is recognized by the witches as, and they call the prime mover, but remains unknowable. You can't know him. So in other words, there's some huge power above this power, but you can't really know it directly. You just got to build a relationship with the goddess. Now think about this, folks. I'm telling you that I'm just giving you a little bit here, but over 1 million people are involved in this. And well, I want to read more of this stuff, but this I'm going to save for a little while later. Amen. Hold on to that. All right, what I'm saying is, how are they getting to our teenagers, Brother Jerry? How is witchcraft being spread amongst our teenagers? It's being spread, one of the ways is through this Wicca religion. There's not a young person that goes to a public school in this room that does not know of young people in their public school that claim to be involved in Wicca or claim to be Wiccans. Absolutely 100%. I guarantee, ask them afterwards. Okay, they're going after our American teenagers. Let me give you another thing. There's so many things. Now, I got to mention this because I'm a Baptist, and it's true. But there is more occult training and teaching in the rock and roll music industry and the rap music industry than probably anything else. And because of the repetition of the listening to it, it becomes a brainwashing tool to literally brainwash the young people. And if you don't believe it, listen to it. Brother Reiser was telling me that he was talking about the lyrics tonight. He's been teaching it a little bit, just a short segment of what he taught last year on music and helping our young people. And he's telling me that the Eagles, remember the old group Eagles, 1970s guys, Eagles? By the way, read the lyrics. Read the words to Hotel California. Read them now. Without the music, just read them. Hello. And by the way, most of those things were written under the influence of drugs. And these are mind-altering, mind-opening chemicals that allow spirits to channel things into their mind. He told me that every one of the... They just released a new album. Brother Reiser showed it to me. He bought it. He's been listening to it. And I told him, I don't want you listening to it on the property. No more of that. But he's... But they released a new album, and he said somewhere in that album, in the cover of the inside cover, he says, they are all professing Wiccans. So there's a picture of every single member of that group, and they're standing there towards the camera, and they've got a crystal in their hand, which crystal is synonymous with occult worship. It's used in channeling of spirits. They're all standing there but there's nothing wrong with rock and roll music. Oh, I wish these Baptist preachers just shut up about it. Well, why do you have such a sour disposition? Maybe it's because of the junk you're listening to, amen? The honest truth is, it's corrupting your heart. It's corrupting your soul. Now, listen to me, young people. These video games. Parents, please watch these video games. Watch them, watch them, watch them, watch them, watch them. I'm telling you, there is so much occult in these video games, and this is another avenue where witchcraft is being introduced into the populace. By the way, violence is being, desensitivity is being introduced to our young people. There's so many things that is hurting the young people by being involved in these graphic, gory video games. But you watch them. What you'll see is that there is an occult. Most of these are based on occult practices and introduce occult themes and have occult characters in these video games. I wish to God we'd just get rid of all of them. I mean it. I just feel like there's such a danger. Parents, it's like anything else. I understand you can be careful. You can pick. You can choose. But please be careful. please be careful. I think sometimes things are being introduced and doors are being opened of influence into our homes because we're bringing things in and we don't even understand it. You know, I'm not trying to be crazy about this, but listen to me. There's too much of this satanic influence being brought into Christian young people's homes in the under the guise of entertainment. Well, what's on the popular TV programs? My goodness sakes. Well, folks, listen to me. You just watch it. I mean, if you pulled up, I did. I pulled up TV Guide. I pulled up Nielsen ratings. I looked at the top rated shows on every single network. And in the top 10 on every single network, there's a handful of them. There's two or three in every network that is occult or introduces ideas of the occult. Of course, our teenagers grew up watching Sabrina, watching Charmed, and watching Buffy, and all of these things. And all of these things were just packaged supposedly as entertainment, as there's nothing wrong with this. But the thing it does is it builds a curiosity on them. It introduces them to terminology, to belief system. Listen, folks, I'm just telling you, you don't have to believe it. Sit down and watch them. I'm saying if they've watched Charmed, Buffy, or Sabrina, they have listened to witches give incantations and cast spells. They're introduced to that. They're desensitized to that. There's something in, and by the way, the ones that are doing it on the show are the good guys. They're the good guys. Some of these shows that have become very popular, rated very highly, and there's more coming out this fall, by the way, because again, the money follows whatever's working. But the show Medium, this lady channels and picks up and sees things from the future and can touch people and see things and have visions and all of these things. Ghost Whisper. And, you know, when I was a kid, it was something else. It's always something. What was the one, Touched by an Angel, I think it was. A Touched by an Angel when I was growing up? I'm dating myself here. My younger, what? But, you know, it's always the same thing. You know what? They just want to put enough truth in there that if you're not careful, you get sucked into it. And then next thing you know, you're realizing, wait a minute, no matter what these people have done or where they, how they've lived their life or what they believe, when they die, they're all heading to the light. Well, did you hear what she said? Did you hear what Oprah said? She said, when the lady was trying to say Jesus Christ was the only way, she was saying, listen, she may believe there's a different paths. There's millions, she said, of different paths. And what she might say, the path she takes, what she might call the light when she gets to the light, and you might call God. Wait a minute. Not everything that shines is God. Didn't we talk about that this morning, that Satan himself can transform himself into an angel of light? And so here we have these people that are coming up with these ideas, but they're anti-Bible. Popular TV shows like this that is just, again, introducing these things to our young people and getting them used to it, and getting them exposed to it. And this Ghost Whisperer, this woman can, you know what? It's written right there in Deuteronomy. It says the divinations. It says the charmer, the consulter with familiar spirits. This woman can talk to the dead. She can talk to the dead. And she can relay messages from those that have already dead to family members to bring them comfort. Here, it's packaged as she's a good person doing a good thing. She's being helpful. You see, and it's being introduced to our American teenagers. I got to move on. Let me just say this. Listen to me. And I won't spend a lot of time on this, but ladies, can I share this with you? The number one target group, even amongst our teenagers, is our teenage girls. Wicca targets enrolling teenage girls. Two-thirds of the million that claim to be Wiccas, two-thirds of them are women. Why? Because it's a woman's religion. It's a feminist religion. It's an empowering women's religion. Let me give you this. Two-thirds of them are women, and 40% of the two-thirds that are women claim to be lesbians or bisexuals. Hello. Watch out for these bumper stickers. If you haven't seen one, you will. You ever seen a bumper sticker that says, worship the goddess? How many of you have seen a bumper sticker that says, worship the goddess? If you haven't, you will. They're becoming very popular. What are they saying? They're saying, I'm a Wiccan. They're saying, worship Mother Earth. And what you've got to be so careful of is these folks that are the tree huggers, the wacko environmentalists. They are hand in hand. Their belief system is hand in hand with this stuff. They don't just want to protect the earth. They want to worship the earth. But and so it's become their God. It's their mother. It's who birthed us. It's where we go when we die. No, it's not. You go to heaven or you go to hell. The earth is a temporary dwelling place. That's where it is. It's going to burn with a fervent heat one of these days and had to be remade because we've so messed it up with sin. There's nothing to be worshipped, you see. And so witchcraft and the American woman, Wicca, is targeting women. It's a woman's religion. I want to tell some of these young men that's in Wicca, it's a woman's religion. By the way, they know it is. No, they do. If you, and I can't share things with you, but what they do, it's a woman's religion, and there's rituals that they do, and they, because of these rituals, these wicked, immoral, perverse things that they're involved in, they are a magnet for young men that want to participate in some of that stuff. I'm trying to be careful here. Listen, folks, what's going on here? Through these, listen, witchcraft always does this. Witchcraft always leads to rebellion and always encourages rebellion. You show me rebellion, I'll show you witchcraft. That's what the Bible says. And what it's doing is it's telling a woman, you know what? You need to rebel against God's ordained family structure. You're not to serve, you're to be served. You're not to follow, you're to lead. You're not to submit, you're to empower. And that's what it breeds, and that's what it teaches. Witchcraft among our American women, and it's influencing our American women. You know, like I said a few minutes ago, all these kids that grew up reading Harry Potter, now's in Wicca, all these young ladies, one of these days going to be raising children. I could show you something, and I started to print it off and decided I wasn't going to do it. There's actually a website, and I got onto it. I was looking for this woman, wrote a web, and you come up with the website, and it looks like something Betty Crocker would have come up with. It's not dark, it's not nasty, it's flowery and feminine. And what it does is she had this article written, and it linked me over to this particular article because I was looking for the TV, the connection between witchcraft and what's on TV. And this lady writes this flowery letter to other mothers, telling them and recommending to them the types of shows and cartoons that they ought to have their children be sure and watch because it puts pagan Wiccas in a positive light. And how she makes sure that she steers her kids to watch this. She is a Wicca raising little Wiccanites. That's a word. I don't know if it is or not. I think I've been misspelling or mispronouncing all night. I think I should be saying wicked. I think they're wicked is what it is. And you know what happened? I can tell you what happened. Back when nobody thought it was nothing wrong with it, she bought her first Harry Potter book. And then she went to some websites, and then she went to the bookstore. And next thing you know, she thought it was cool to get into witchcraft a little deeper. And now you know what? She's married, and she's got children, and she's raising them to worship Satan. To worship Satan. Now, let me end with this tonight. You talk about a way to end. Witchcraft, how is it resurging in America? It's resurging amongst our children. It's resurging amongst our teenagers. It's resurging amongst our women. It's resurging even in our American armed forces. Even in our American armed forces. I've got this book, and I do subscribe to this, and I'm not trying to sell magazines, and it's kind of pricey, to be honest with you. But there's a magazine called Whistleblower, and they came out in January of 2008 when I was studying this and prepping for this upcoming month and praying about this. All of a sudden, this landed on my desk, and it's a witchcraft in America. I'm going to tell you something. They've got the statistics. They've got the articles. This will blow your mind. This is unbelievable what's in here. But one of the things that I was shocked about as I read this was an article in here entitled Witchcraft in the Military, How and Why Pagan Religion Has Taken Root in the U.S. Armed Force. And I don't have time to read the entire thing to you. This was first made the airwaves. This was first uncovered, and the media kind of rushed to it back in 1999. Fort Hood is America's largest military base. It's sprawled across 340 square miles of sun-baked limestone and scrub brush in the Texas Hill Country north of Austin. It's also home to 42,000 soldiers of the 1st Armory Cavalry Division and the 4th Mechanized Infantry Division. Dedicated, highly trained, no-nonsense warriors who are at the top tier, one of the top tier of America's military forces. In the nearby town of Killian, the civilian population is politically and culturally conservative, with religious sympathies that are strongly Christian and evangelical. To all appearances, Fort Hood is the last place you would expect to be a hotbed for exotic religious experimentation. But in 1999, Fort Hood became the focus of an international media flap when the word got out that witchcraft ceremonies were being performed on the base, apparently with the blessings of the base commander. What they were actually doing, it says, actually, the Wiccan rituals had been going on at Fort Hood for the previous 3 years. Now, let me summarize this. There, by the way, could I say this? You say, Brother Jerry, is this meant in any way to put a negative light on our military? Let me tell you what our military is made up. Military is made up of a cross-section of the culture, the young men from the present culture. And so amongst all of these men, many of them fine, many of them Christian, many of them dedicated Christians, there, of course, is the same percentages in the military as there probably would be in across the board. And so there was, with over a million, and by the way, folks, that's only the ones that would write down and admit it on a form. So that's a lowball number, not a highball number. And amongst all of these professing Wiccans, there's some that joined the military. Well, you know what? The chaplain didn't have anything for them. They had Catholic services. They had Protestant services. They even had Muslim services. But they didn't have any Wiccan services. So a group of them began to lobby the base commander and got a hold of the ACLU. And next thing you know, guess what? They were allowed to bring in practicing Wiccan priestesses who would come in, and they were given their own building to perform Wiccan ceremonies, practicing witchcraft, sanctioned by our military at Fort Hood. And by the way, it's not just Fort Hood. Folks, the more I've dug into this, this is happening on most military bases across the country now, and there's nothing in the world legally we can do to stop it. Now, what I'm saying is this, it's gotten that deep. You say, Brother Jerry, why does that matter? It matters because these are the young men and young women that have pledged to defend the Constitution of the United States, and that Constitution states our belief in an Almighty God. An Almighty God. It's a scary thing. I hope that would wake you up. Let me give you some other information here. I want to read this right out of it. I got a direct quote I was able to track down. The Army Chaplain's Handbook. Every Army chaplain gets a handbook, and it gives a detailed description of the different religions so they can familiarize themselves. And, you know, it's sad, but it's true. I think Brother Casper would attest to this. If you're going to be an Army chaplain, you have to be the spiritual advisor, spiritual counselor to these young men, no matter what their religion is. So you may be a Christian, but someone else may come to you from a different religion, and your job, according to the military, is you need to read up on them and give them counsel and encouragement in the vein of their religion. But what they have now and have had for some time in the Army Chaplain's Handbook is a section on Wicca, so that they would know how to minister to these Wiccans. Now, every single section of the Army Chaplain's Handbook is written by someone from that religion. So when I read this, remember, this is a Wiccan writing this, trying to explain who they are and what they believe, but of course they're going to spin it and spin themselves in a very positive light. Listen to me, and I'll read this. This is what any Army chaplain, if you grabbed his handbook and you look under the Wiccan section, this is what you would read. Wiccans worship the sacred as immanent in nature, often personified as Mother Earth and Father Sky. As polytheists, they may use many other names for deity. Individuals will often choose goddess or gods from any of the world's pantheons whose stories are particularly inspiring and use those deities as a focus for personal devotions. Similarly, covens is simply their assembly, their group, will use particular deity names as a group focus, and the groups often hold these secret. It's very important to be aware that Wiccans, and this is the part that, of course, is absolutely false. It's important to be aware that Wiccans do not in any way worship or believe in Satan, the devil, or any similar entities. They point out that Satan is a symbol of rebellion against the inversion of the Christian and Jewish traditions. Wiccans do not revile the Bible. By the way, hidden in that little statement there is them saying, if we're worshiping Satan or appear to be, all we're doing is rebelling against the inversion of the Christian and Jewish traditions. That's what we're doing. Yeah, you are. That's right. Wiccans do not revile the Bible. They simply regard it as one among many of the world's mystic systems, less applicable than some to their core values, but still deserving just as much respect as any of the others. Most Wiccan groups also practice magic, by which they mean the direction and use of psychic energy, whose natural but invisible forces, which summoned all living things. Some members spell the word M-A-G-I-C-K to distinguish it from sleight-of-hand entertainment. Wiccans employ such means as dance, chant, creative visualization, and hypnosis to focus and direct psychic energies for the purpose of healing, protecting, aiding members in various endeavors. In other words, they channel spiritual powers. I wonder how carefully, how long it took him to word that to avoid having to say what they do. Such assistance is also extended to non-members upon request. I'm sure at times they want it and sometimes they don't. Many, but not all, Wiccans believe in reincarnation. Some take this as a literal description of what happens to people when they die. For others, it is a symbolic model that helps them deal with the cycles and changes within this life. Neither reincarnation nor any other literal belief can be used as a test of any individual's validity as a member of that old religion. Most groups have a handwritten collection of rituals and lore known as a Book of Shadows. Part of the religious education of a new member is to be hand copy this book for him or herself over the years as inspiration provides. New materials will be added. Normally, access to these books is limited to the initiated members of that religion. Brother Jerry, what are you saying? Why did we spend this time tonight? What I'm saying, folks, is listen, if you think Satan's got it on cruise control to the end, if you think Satan's kind of taken a back seat, if you think that Satan has retired, then you've got your head in the sand. Now, young people, please listen to me. I want to take this month and I want to educate you in some areas you need to be educated in. I want you to be able to and we're going to teach you some of these things later, and we've gone as long as we can tonight. But I want to teach you some things. There's some phrases that ought to just throw a red flag up. There's some words that ought to throw a red flag up. There's some things that you've got to be careful as you're reading that you don't get sucked into. This is so carefully packaged, and they pull you into this belief a step at a time. And what does it boil down to, Brother Jerry? It boils down to exactly where we started tonight. God, the creator of the universe, put down as his number one primary law, I am the only God that is to be worshipped. I am the only one to be worshipped. Lucifer sat there and watched that. He watched all of the created beings of heaven fall down and worship God, worship the triune God. And there was something inside of him that said, I want that. He didn't look at everything he had. Young people, are you listening to me? Because this is how he gets you. He didn't look at everything he had. He didn't see all the blessings that he had. He saw the one thing he wasn't allowed to have. And he was willing to throw away everything he did have to try to get the one thing he wanted. And by the way, you say, well, he got it. Well, he's got it in some perverted ways for a dispensation of time. But you know what? In hell, all those that he deceived are not going to spend eternity worshiping Satan. They're going to spend eternity cursing Satan and blaspheming Satan. He's going to have to live forever, not only without worship, but with the direct opposite of worship, because all of the angels that followed him will curse him for all eternity. Every soul that he deceived will curse him for all eternity. There's nowhere Satan's going to be able to flee to in the bottomless pit in that lake of fire where he will not hear the shrieks and the cursing of those that he sent there, deceived to go there. So what I'm saying is you stay focused on God. Stay off the internet. Stay off the internet. This whole idea of surfing the internet, that ought to be absolutely taboo. If you got to find something, you do it with parental consent. You do it with parental, make sure a parent's right there. Supervision, parental supervision. You get on, you get off. You don't surf. You don't surf. You get on, you get off. You don't surf. And parents, put some restrictions on these things. You know, please tell me nobody in this room. Please tell me nobody in this room has a young person in their home that's got a computer in their room with internet access that they go in there and set unsupervised. Please, 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 please tell me that's not true. Please. Young people, it does matter what kind of music you listen to. It does matter what kind of video games you watch. It does matter what kind of TV programs you listen to. It does matter what internet sites you visit. You have to be careful, 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 careful. Now, I've decided that God is a God, Jehovah God is a God that deserves my worship. He's the only one that's going to get my worship. And I'm not going to open up my life to occult influences. I pray that you would not either. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, you take this mass of information, Lord, what we've tried to present in some kind of a logical form. Lord, there's so much more that I have in front of me. And Lord, I've asked for your Holy Spirit leading. I wanted to be careful what I shared, what I didn't share. Lord, it doesn't hurt us to be ignorant of some things. We need to be aware of Satan and aware of his devices, but I think there's a lot of the details would probably be best if we were ignorant. Lord, I do pray that we'd understand what's going on around us and be, Lord, on guard against the wiles of the devil. We would be careful to make sure that we put on the whole armor of God. We would be careful to make sure that we do not introduce into our lives something that would allow Satan to have access to us that he otherwise wouldn't have access to. Pray that you touch hearts, Lord. May we all just shore things up a bit. May we go through and check on things. Lord, I pray, dear God, I want to raise a bunch of young people that love and worship God, not with torn loyalties. Pray, Lord, that you'd help them, Lord, to focus on you, focus on your book, love your word, meditate on it, spend their extra time building a relationship with you, Lord, not dabbling around in things that smell of brimstone and sulfur. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.